it just felt like there's got to be something more than going to work and just being in an office every day and doing nothing.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. First of all, I want to thank all of my supporters, everybody who's downloaded, who's subscribed, who's listened, and who follows us on social media. Thank you guys so very much for your support. It means everything to me, truly. And a special thank you to those of you who've taken the time out of your day to give us a 5-star rating. I cannot tell you how much it means to me that you would go out of your way to give us a 5-star rating and let everybody know that you enjoy and appreciate what we're doing here on Far Betterment. So thank you for that. And if you haven't done so already, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us on your favorite podcasting platform by simply searching for Far Betterment. In this episode, I'm joined by Erica Peterson. A lot of you may know Erica from her time at Suicide Girls. And if you're not familiar with what Suicide Girls is, it's an online community. It started in 2001, and it was based and still is around burlesque, boudoir, like pinup style and tattoo-centric photography. And you can go and connect with people. There's forums, message boards. It's really a very cool place. And if you haven't, you should go check it out. But that was, you know, a small portion of her life. Erica's also an incredibly talented artist. I'll be linking her website in the description below, so please make sure you go and check that out. She does these really, really cool, hyper-realistic portraits of pets, and I mean, she's really versatile. I mean, she can kind of do it all. And she's also an adventure seeker in, like, the truest sense of the word. She seeks out fulfillment, and she likes to try new things, and she enjoys, you know, just kind of living life and finding her own happiness. And we talk a lot about that here in this podcast. This was an incredibly easy episode for me to make. So easy, in fact, that I will be splitting this into two parts. So this is just part one of my chat with Erica. Part two will be next week. Again, I want to thank Erica, my guest, for being on and for making this such an easy episode to make. It's not very often that I'm not like super, super, super nervous when I'm making these. So thank you to her for making this so easy and comfortable for me. But without further ado, here's Erica Peterson for Far Betterment. Hi, Erica. This is Andrew from Far Betterment.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I guess we'll just jump into it right now. Like, what kind of jobs have you had? I mean, obviously, you know, you've had the job that everybody knows about, I think.
Right.
But,
yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about a little bit about that later, but I don't know. How about an example of a job where you've been too friendly?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of all of my different jobs that I've had. I've done everything. My first jobs were in, like, fast food. I worked at Boston Market.
Okay.
I worked at Boston Market, and I worked with retail. I worked at a travel agency for a while, just doing, like, intern stuff. But I got a friend. I've worked at Whole Foods 3 different times in my life.
Oh, wow. All right.
I've worked in, like, all different areas. So, like, I know a lot about coffee and tea, and then I know a lot about cheese. And then I was a cashier for a bit. Let's see. I worked at Sam Ash, so I was a brass and woodwind department manager, so I learned a lot about brass and woodwinds and violins and sheet music. I can't play anything, really. Well, I played the flute in, like, 8th grade.
Okay.
So I did that. What else have I done? Well, I worked the job that everybody knows about. I worked at Suicide Girls, so I was a model coordinator. I did that for, like, 5 years, and then I went back for 6 months.
Okay.
And so I worked with girls and photographers all over the world, setting up, like, photo shoots and doing, like, I don't know, whatever they needed me to do. I did like a book tour for them. I got to go to Prague to meet a bunch of European girls, which was bullshit. and then I worked at weird internet startup companies where I showed up and made my boss coffee and then just sat and played Candy Crush until it was an acceptable time to go home.
Oh, wow.
And my most recent job, I worked in a prop manufacturing shop. So we made props for movies and TV, which was like, if you've seen any of the Avengers movies, my job made Thor's hammer, Captain America shields. We made everything in Black Panther. But what I did was really boring. I was at the end, I did HR. So I would just change grown men's time sheets.
Oh, nice. That sounds super fun.
At that point, I was like, I'm not doing anything that contributes to society in any meaningful way. Other than, like, sometimes I get to see, like, some speeder bikes that they made for The Mandalorian. Or I got to see, that little, the little pram that Baby Yoda is in.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to see that get made, which was, like, you know, not that exciting in terms of, like, contributing something to the world, so.
I mean, that is cool,
now,
though.
Now I work in a plant shop and teach bar method and do portraits primarily. So yeah, kind of all over the place. I've got all kinds of goofy jobs. I'll do anything. I'll try anything. Why not?
Well, actually, yeah, we were talking a little bit about that, and you were saying you're kind of a person that likes to, like, do everything, and you want to do everything.
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from?
I don't want to say I get
bored. Yeah, okay.
But, well, I don't want to say I get bored and stuff, but it's a little bit that, but I don't know, I just have this desire to keep learning and keep trying new things. And, like, you know, on one hand, it's kind of crappy because I'll become obsessed with something to the point where, like, people are like, you need, like, nobody else is interested in but me anymore. But I don't know. I'm just always learning and finding new things that I'm passionate about. I'm the kind of person, when I learn about something, I'm like, I want to know everything there is to know. So, like, when I worked at Sam Ash, I was like, well, I'm working with all these instruments. So I would sit at the cashier station at the computer and Google, like, largest saxophone, which is a contrabass saxophone, by the way. It can hit the lowest C note on the piano. So I would, like, Google stuff like that to, really find out. And then after a while, I'm like, let's say this in the least shitty way. I'll find something isn't serving me anymore, or I've kind of learned all there is to do, or I've, like, you know, at certain jobs, just advanced as far as I can go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, at Suicide Girls, it was kind of, for that company, because there were really only the founders who were I'm not really going to advance anymore. I'm just kind of, I can't go back in time and found the company with them. So
yeah.
I'm just gonna, like, do this forever. Like, no, there's more. I'm always like, there's more to life than this. Let's do that. So, for better or for worse. That's me.
Well, how do you decide your next thing? Like, how did you go from...
Oh, impulse?
Just impulse, yeah. Okay, I like that, though.
Impulse, whatever feels good at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever done, like, an Enneagram test?
Yeah, kind of, but...
It's kind of like a personality test.
Yeah.
Type. And what's really funny, I was just back visiting my hometown, and I was with a friend, and he was like, "Have you ever done an Enneagram test?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I forget what it was." And he was like, "I'm gonna get one for you." He's like, "I bet you're a 7." And I was like, "What?" I'm like, "How can you just, like, know me?" And I took it, and I, like, laid it on my neck, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm a 7." And so, like, the defining characteristics of that are, like, always in pursuit of a good time, and, like, no, doesn't like to have bad feelings or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, likes to shift from one thing to the other, constant search for knowledge, which is funny because, like, that also, whether you believe in astrology or not, I'm a Sagittarius, and that's, like, character traits for that, too. So,
okay.
I don't want to say, like, I don't know, I believe in everything and nothing at the same time, but the personality test is, like, that's something that you take and you answer based on how you feel. So that's, like, that's more scientific than how the stars aligned on the day and time you were born. So I understand that people don't buy into that as much. But anyway, those are two examples that I found really funny of people being like, oh, so this is this is how you are. But yeah, impulse, whatever feels like right for me at the moment.
So
some jobs, money. All the time.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we all need it, yeah. Unfortunately.
I'm not above it. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to, there's parts of every job you're going to hate. So, yeah. Whatever. I've taken a lot of jobs. I'm like, well, I need work. I guess I'll do this.
What's the, I guess, job that you, actually, before I ask that, you said mm-hmm. bad feelings are something your personality, you know, you don't like to deal with that. Like, how do you deal with those then?
Stuff them down and let them come out all at once.
Nice.
In a nervous breakdown.
I like that.
Obviously, the most healthy way to do it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. That's how you do it.
I'm trying so hard to be a better person and be like, if I'm disappointed, like, no, just feel it. Because like a couple weeks ago, I was really going through some stuff and I was like, I don't want to feel bad. I want to feel happy. So then I put on Jock Jams and I was like, but then I was just like going 80 down the freeway, weeping uncontrollably, listening to Pump Up the Jam. And I was like, this is,
that's a,
I can't.
That's a good combination for weeping. that's amazing.
It was really tragic. I was like, this is, like, I kind of had an out of body experience where I saw myself from outside the vehicle and I was like, oh wow, what a sad person.
You're like, Pump Up the Jam.
I know, like, while it was happening, I was so sad and I was so upset, but like internally, like, what a fucking mess.
Please tell me you were singing along.
I'm sorry for my language. I will try to.
No, this is totally explicit. You're totally good. I cuss a lot, so don't worry about it. I might not on here, but I no worries. But yeah, please tell me you were singing along. Yeah. I just want to know.
Yeah, it was a sad time. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to let myself, like, I was like, I'll be kind to myself and like, let myself cry it out. And I try to be better about that. Cause otherwise I'll go like months and then it'll be like the straw that broke the camel's back and it'll be like,
oh, wow,
out of milk and then just lose it. So trying to be, to deal with emotions, but I don't like them. I will tell you that I'm not a person that like needs to feel stuff. I like to be only happy all the time.
You know, that's interesting. I know some people like that actually. And, I'm like the complete opposite, as you can probably tell just from our short conversations. I'm like very, I feel everything all the time, like everything.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole different problem to have, I think. But yeah, I definitely know some people like that.
It's better to find the balance, but I don't know.
I haven't found that yet. So. Yeah.
Well, all we can do is our best, so you can keep working at it. Maybe one day you will.
We'll see.
Or maybe one day you'll accept that, like, this is just how it is. And roll with it. Because, you know, as long as you're finding happiness, I suppose.
I mean, acceptance is a huge part of life anyway. So, I mean, I don't know. What else can you do, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So where do you think, I don't want to get like too existential or anything, but where do you think that comes from? Like wanting to feel good feelings all the time? And
I don't know. I mean, I've always been a really like optimistic person and kindly so. Like just even as a kid, oh my God, my mom made so much fun of me. I remember in like fifth grade, we had to like pick a motto and that was like so overwhelming for me. And I was like, oh, this is so stupid. And so I wrote like, don't worry, be happy. Hi, I'm a white girl in suburban Ohio, quoting Bob Marley. And my mom made so much fun of me. And I was like, but what? Like, I don't know. So I've always kind of been like that. Like as a kid, I was mostly happy, save for like high school, which was a disaster. But that's the kind of person I've always been. And like, I'll just trust that things work out. Mm-hmm. And when I wanted to move to LA, I grew up in Ohio and I was like, I want to live in LA. And I was working at American Apparel at the time and I called them and I was like, hi, I'm coming to LA to visit. Can I get an interview? Can you put me in a store? And they were like, cool, can you start next week? And so I packed all my stuff and I drove with my sister overnight for 2 days. We moved to LA and I started working. And I was just like, I hope it works out. And if it doesn't, I'll move back. And I'm still here, well, 14 years later. Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
14 years. Yeah. So I'm just blindly, kind of naively so, we'll trust that it'll work out. And I was like, a couple months ago, I was like, I hate my job. I'm quit my job. I'm going to make it work. I'll figure something out if it doesn't. And so far, it's working out.
Well, like, I mean,
3 months in.
14 years later.
I don't know. It is like, I try to make I try to make calculated decisions and be more reasonable. Like at my job, I didn't just, the day I decided I wanted to quit, as much as I wanted to just walk out and never go back.
Yeah.
I waited it out for like 6 weeks until my vacation rolled over and I could like get paid out from that and like leave on a good note. So it was like kind of more thought out than traditional Erica things, which are impulsively making broad life decisions.
Traditional no foresight, Erica.
But
love that.
I mean, I got a sleeve without planning it out, and that's some permanent shit. So,
oh, you didn't plan yours out at all?
No. Oh my God.
Me
no.
either.
I was just going like monthly to see my tattoo artist.
Yeah.
And I'd pull up some picture. I'd print out some pictures that I liked and show up, and he'd draw on me with a Sharpie and then be like, this looks good. And I was like, yeah.
Nice.
And then I just like one day I was like, we did a session and it like went up my arm and I like above my elbow, almost to my shoulder. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, I guess I have a sleeve now.
I mean, they're good tattoos, so though. It's not like they're bad tattoos.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, they're...
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the artist, and I really trusted him, and I knew that he knew what I wanted. So we had a really good relationship. I don't know.
You're just like, I'm going to go get a tattoo.
It's just like a comedy of errors, and like,
I don't think so. No.
It's funny when people ask me about it because their eyes get really wide, especially like people who are really grounded and really thoughtful about and have like a 5-year plan. I've literally never had a plan farther than next week.
Oh, like, I'm so with you there though. Like,
my brain
doesn't
function in that way.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I feel like it's like off-putting to some people, which is funny. But like for me, that's how I prefer it. I'm like, you never know what could happen. I like my sister's like, I'm coming at the end of the month. What's going to, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the month. It could be anything. Who knows where life might take me by then. It's like 3 weeks away and I'm like, I don't know.
I think that's kind of like what's cool, like endearing about you is that, or I guess it's surprising to me because I don't find people that are like this often at all. Like it's never, ever happens.
Really?
Yeah, no, never. Like everybody I know, they're either older than me. I think like most of our friends are in their 40s, which is...
Yeah, same. Most of my friends are older than me as opposed to younger.
And they're all very planned out and, you know, their lives are kind of set and they go to work every day. And I'm like, I just want to not know what I'm doing tomorrow.
401k and I'm like,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So that when we started talking, I was like, oh my God, I've never met somebody that actually sees things the same way. It's so weird. And it's just not common, like you were saying, you know, it's off-putting to people. And so when I meet somebody that's got that same vision, I'm like, oh, this is so refreshing. Like finally,
right.
You know,
but life is so short. I understand. I don't know. Maybe it's because I live in LA and the kind of work, because it's so expensive. Like how I felt when I was working at my last job, I felt like stifled. I felt trapped because I was like, I go to this building every day. I work in basically a closet. There's no lights. I don't really do anything that like makes me feel good as a person, or I'm like making somebody's life better, or I'm contributing to society where it's like, yeah, well, you know, I hate my job, but it benefits somebody in this way. Other than like, you know, the Avengers movies are cool, but Star Wars is cool. But like, what am I? I'm not really directly involved in making them. Like, you know, I send those people a bill and they pay it.
You know, so
and then it was like the hours are really long, and it became where like I would work out in the morning, and I would go to my job. So I would get up at like 5:30. go to my workout, go directly to my job. I would get home around 7 and then be like, well, I guess I eat dinner and then I just go to sleep to do it all again tomorrow. And I was like, there has to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
There has to be. And I was like, it wasn't like it paid me well either. So it was like, it's not like I can just like, you know, fuck off to Paris for a week every year as like, oh, I'm going to take a big vacation or something. And like, you know, I wasn't seeing, I live across the country from my parents. So I wasn't seeing my parents that often. I would go, you know, a year without seeing them.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And I have like a niece who's 1.5 and she's 2 now. But it was like, it's just kind of like that, like magical age. Like they'll never be that little again.
Yeah.
And you know, my nephew's 10 and I was like, I'm not, so I don't have like, it felt like all of the things, my friend put it as all of the glasses in life that you want to like have fill up with things. They were all empty. Like family life was empty. Like I didn't have family life. I was doing art, but it wasn't a primary thing and it was more for money. So that my creativity wasn't really fulfilled, money not fulfilled, you know, and it put strain on my relationship. So I wasn't fulfilled. Like it was just everything, all of your glasses. She called it life hangry. Like when you're so hungry that you're angry about something, she was like, that's you in life right now. And I was like, it is. And it was, I could trace a lot of it back to my job. And you're there, it was just that 5 days a week. And I didn't have time for anything. And, you know, you work 10 hours a day. And by the time you come home, you're exhausted. So it's like, I couldn't even go out and do anything after that made me feel whole or like I was living, you know? So, yeah. So that, quitting my job was like, at this point was like the greatest thing. I immediately felt like relief and like, you know, what will today be? You know, what will tomorrow be? I don't know. And I have like, you know, the freedom to decide what I'm going to do or like, you know, I had a friend in town was like, oh, come meet me for lunch. I'm like, oh my God, I could just go and I can see, and I can like nurse these friendships and stuff. I have time for different things. So just felt like there's gotta be something more than going to work and just being in an office every day and doing nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, actually, so, I mean, it makes perfect sense because I have that same view, and my wife and I have talked about this a lot, and she's got that same kind of view. It's for me, it's first of all, money's not really super important to me. I know that sounds stupid and it sounds like bullshit, but it's just never been.
It is for some people.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything against those people. I don't look down on them. And I even saying those people, like that sounds shitty. I don't have anything against anybody who, you know, wants to make as much money as they want, you know, as they can and save up what they can. Nothing against that.
It's not a motivator for you.
It's not at all. And it's almost kind of a deterrent, I think, in a way. Like, I understand I need money to survive. I need money to live and feed my children and take care of my family. Sure, that's obvious. But it doesn't drive me to what I want to do the rest of my life. I'm more about, like, I want to be inspired.
Same.
I want passion. You know, I want to experience as much as I can, as often as I can. While I can, you know, I view the way that society works as kind of backwards. Like we're wasting our, you know, we're wasting our youngest years on trying to save up as much as we can, trying to get as rich as we can or as successful as we can. And then, you know, retire in our 60s when our bodies are starting to fail us and our, you know.
Yeah, when you have health issues, maybe you can't fly or
exactly.
Like, I don't feel like sitting in the car for 12 hours just to go see the Grand Canyon for a minute. Like, I'll do that. You know, I can barely do it now. Like, my knees will hurt. I can drive all day, but my knees will hurt.
Yeah, sure. Like, that's crazy to me. Like,
I feel the same way. Yeah. And it's so many, and I think it's also a product of, I mean, also, like, life is harder than it was for our parents' generation. You know, the 40-hour work week was made with the idea that you had a spouse at home to take care of the rest of your life for you.
Sure. Yep.
But now it's not like that anymore. So now it's like everybody's expected to do everything, especially like, you know, mothers are judged if they go to work, judged if they stay home. You're supposed, like, the expectation is that you'll work like you don't have kids. Yeah. And then parents, like, you don't have to work. You know, so it's,
yeah,
it's exhausting and it makes people miserable. And especially, and then if you have a job that you hate on top of that, where you don't feel fulfilled, it's like, what a fucking nightmare. Like, that can't be, I think of that like tweet or like the meme or whatever. It's like, we're not alive just to pay bills and listen to the podcast. Like, do something with your life. And I, for me, and I feel like you too, it's like creativity makes you feel whole. It makes you feel inspired. It makes you feel like that. Like, for me, it makes me feel like that light is on inside of me, I guess. It's so weird to say, but it makes me feel alive.
It's not,
and like, I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do like pet portraits and stuff. And then when people tell me they gave them to someone, or like, you know, their animal passed away and it brought tears to their eyes, that makes me feel like, yes, that's what I want to give people. That's what I want to do with my life. I want to make somebody feel gratitude or feel, you know, happy and like overcome with emotion. And they, you know, I want to put that into the world and not just like submitting timesheets.
Yeah. You want to be impactful.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Yeah. I mean, I totally get it.
That's why I wanted to teach bar method too, is like being able to have an impact on somebody's day and, you know, make them feel better and inspired and, you know, whatever. So that was my, I just want to, I have a lot of energy and I have a lot of optimism, positivity, and I want to give some of that out because I feel like a lot of people, a lot of times that I meet, don't.
That's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting though, like how many people you meet. This is gonna sound super shitty, like as an optimistic person, which is funny to say because I have, like, I've got depression, and you know, I've dealt with depression since I was like 12-11 years old. I've had it my whole life, and been medicated. And yeah, so like, it's weird, people find it so odd when you have depression but you're optimistic. Like, for some reason, people are like, how does that work out? But I've found a lot
the chemicals in your brain are...
Yeah, like, you just, you can't control it. And so I find it odd when I meet people who, like, just wake up. Well, I think you kind of said it. Like, you wake up and you're just in a bad mood immediately. You know, like, or... everything is bleak, or everything is, you know, and I've had those moments. Like I said, I've got depression, but I'm still optimistic. Like, I still feel like there are more good people. I still feel like, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. It's
like, I see the good in people and I don't.
Yeah.
My first instinct is not that they're going to try to screw me out of something.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are like that, whether it's because that's how they are, or, you know, somebody hurt them and they, you know, or they've just been like hardened and jaded where they, that's their first reaction. But that makes me, I feel like for a little bit in my worst times, like, you know, when I was the worst version of myself, which sorry for anybody who knew me when I was like 20, that's kind of how I was. But I still like had, I was more cynical, but I found my way out of it, I guess. I became, I don't know, I kind of went back to like my true nature, which is, I don't know, I see the good in people. And even if I hear stories about like terrible people doing terrible things, I always feel like, what made them, what was their, why did they do that? And I'm like, I hurt for them, or like, I'm able to see both sides of it, I guess.
Yeah.
And like understand why that they did it. Not that that justifies, you know, something terrible or awful that somebody did, but I'm able to feel for them, still have compassion for that person because they are a person and everybody's, you know, deserves to be understood, I guess. Maybe not.
No, I, no. I,
maybe that's not the way I want to word that, but you know what I mean?
No, I was actually just going to say, like, I think that that's kind of a really big gift to have that kind of compassion for everybody. I think it's kind of rare. I think most people are kind of living their lives to almost like very, very individually, maybe to a fault even,
uh-huh.
where we're kind of like, I need to take care of myself and that's it. And sure, you do. But we're also part of like this global society where we need to take care of each other too.
Yeah.
And if we can help, I absolutely am a believer that you should. If you can, you should.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, well, it's that there's a Mr. Rogers thing. Have you seen that going around? It's been going on for a while. It usually, unfortunately, comes up after like school shootings and that stuff. But it's like when you see people when you see horrible stuff in the news, it's like, look for the people in the background that are helping, because no matter how bad things get, there are helpers in the world. And that's the kind of like, that's kind of how I see things. Like, you know, humanity isn't terrible totally. I mean, we're probably fucked and the world's probably going to end, but you know, humanity is as a whole, there are still good people and there's still positivity in the world. Yeah. And there's still like, you know, even if you can, and there's another thing that, so I thought, so there's this crystal store. It's called Zeldon Sky. It's my favorite place in LA. I love to take people there. It's fabulous. It's run by these two guys they call themselves man witches. They used to be celebrity stylists. They styled the Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears denim outfits.
That is matching awesome.
That I'm sure you've seen that before.
That's the best thing
they're
ever.
Awesome. And they have like this, it's amazing. So they have a crystal shop in Silver Lake, and it's awesome. And you just go in, and it's like crystals and stuff. You sometimes they'll do tarot card readings. It's very like woo and cosmic and stuff. And even if you don't, you know, believe in the healing power of crystals, which like I don't, I like pretty things, and I like to go there because it just feels comforting when you walk in, and they're so nice. So I one time was talking to one of the guys,
mm-hmm.
I think Martin, I was talking to, and he was like, "Yeah, people." He's like, a lot of people are coming in. This was 2016. So he's like, a lot of people are coming in and they're just so upset with the political climate. And I want crystals that will help me, you know, feel better about this. I just feel so wrecked by this political situation. And he was like, I just tell them, you know what? Make the change that you can in your direct life, in your community. There's always going to be ding-dongs at the top and you cannot control that. So just worry about what you can change in your local community, in your family, in your immediate friends. And that's where you can make a change. And that's where you'll, you know, find your happiness. And I wholly agree with that. I mean, that I don't, especially with all the political stuff that's going on. And I don't know, maybe it's different now that the whole like, our own situation, whatever. That's something else.
Yeah.
But it's like, make the change where you can, affect the people that you can, and that will, you know, that can radiate out into the rest of the world, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that.
By changing what you can control, because there's no point in worrying about what you can't control.
That I think that's one of the hardest things to learn.
You or I can't control what's going to happen with the Iran situation. All you can do is react to it. And worrying about it serves no one because you can't control it.
Yeah.
It just ruins your day. And that sounds so naive, I'm sure, to some people and like ostrichy, like, oh, I'm just going to like forget about this. But at the end of the day, I can't control it. So all I can do is like, you know, see what happens and, you know, react to that. And I have anxiety. I'm anxious about everything.
Yeah.
So that's like,
I think you can tell how much anxiety I have just from our conversations. That's all anxiety, you know, like, and I either can control it really well and then go have a panic attack later at home by myself, or I cannot control it at all. And I have to, I'm trying to control the situation, you know, and remind myself there's nothing you can do. Leave it alone. And anxiety is really, really difficult thing for people to understand who don't have it. Everyone's got a little bit of anxiety, you know, like
I speak about it really freely and it like freaks people out. I'm like, are you not anxious? Is it that? I don't think it's that bad. Like I don't have like debilitating, like I get up and live my day. I feel like I'm going to throw up a lot, but
nice.
But, it just keeps me up at night, every night, all night. But yeah, it's crazy when people are like, yeah, no, I don't feel like, I don't ever feel anxious. And I'm like, how? What's that like? What's that be like?
So how do you explain that to people?
What is it like to just go to sleep? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just speak really openly about it until people look at me real strange. And then I'm like, is that normal? No. So.
Yeah. It's so do you have like insomnia pretty bad and stuff like that?
It's not insomnia. I just wake up in the night.
Okay.
Like so I started teaching, I've been training to be a barmanship instructor. I just started teaching my own full classes. So it's hour long. You literally talk the whole time. You give corrections. You have to know everybody's name, and our studio is pretty big, so it's usually a class of 15 to 20 people. On average. And there's a lot of regulars, but there's also like, you know, I taught on a Sunday. I don't usually teach on a Sunday. So it's all new people. So I got to learn all those names. Got to remember all the setups for every exercise, what exercises you can or can't do with certain things, you know, when to turn on the fans, when to change the music. It's a whole thing. It's so much. And I just started teaching alone instead of teaching like 15 minute chunks of class with another teacher there.
Yeah.
So pretty much for a week before I taught my first class, I just woke up in the night, like a couple times a night, every hour, thinking like, oh my God, what if I forget this? What if I don't do that? You know, what if I don't know everybody's name? Just, and then eventually I can go back to sleep, but I'll wake up like an hour later and be like, oh my God, what if the iPod doesn't turn on? It's like crazy stuff. So, yeah.
No, I don't think that's crazy though. Like everybody deals with their own shit the way they can, you know? Like I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's all like it's all stuff that like it's funny cuz I like to talk about it cuz when you say it out loud, you sound like you hear like the absurdity of it, and it helps, like for me it helps me like calm down. Like I don't know, like one time I was on a plane and I was like, oh my God, if this plane crashes, I had a cross stitch cross stitches at the time on Etsy, and I had like a bunch of orders, and I was like, oh my God, if this plane crashes, I won't be able to get my orders done. And then I was like, I'm going to have a lot bigger problems if this plane crashes. Why would I think that, oh, my cross stitch orders won't get filled? Well, I will be dead. So bigger picture. It's like stuff like that where it's like say it out loud, so I'm like, oh, this is absurd, like, and that will help me kind of calm down from it. So it was like, what if I have to use my own music for class? And I was like, no, the iPod is always plugged in. It's literally, you've been taking for 3 years, it's literally never not worked. It will work. It's not a problem that you need to deal with. There's music preloaded on it and you just press play and you're good. It's the least of the worries that I should have. So it's just your brain playing tricks on you.
But it does help to get it out. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from there. Mm-hmm. It really does help to say it out loud and be honest about it.
Yeah, it does, especially with another person too, and you can kind of joke about it because I take nothing seriously, so I'll always be down to joke about it.
What do you take seriously? Like, what is something in your life that you've taken very seriously? If you want to talk about it, I mean, that's completely up to you.
I don't know. Well, I don't know because it sucks. I make a joke of everything, but like, I don't know. I Nothing.
Do you find like that's something. Like, I'm not trying to get, like I said, existential or anything, but like, do you find that that's like a defense mechanism, or is that just part of like your optimism, or do you think?
Well, it's kind of part one, not wanting to have any bad feelings.
Sure.
And then, you know, equal part optimism. But I don't know, but my family is very much like that too. Like, we would joke about kind of everything. And I mean, there were serious times, but it was for the most part. I mean, if you can't joke about something, if you can't make a self-deprecating joke about it, then I don't know.
Yeah.
What do I take seriously? I mean, I take stuff seriously, but like, as a person, I'm the first that will make a joke and people will be like, well, that wasn't an appropriate time to do that.
I was going
to
ask that.
I can be appropriately somber. Like, I wasn't cracking jokes at my grandmother's funeral, but but also like the priest was, cause my grandma loved to laugh. Yeah. So, I don't know, finding the humor and the absurdity of situations is
that.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to think about that, which is like a sad thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, I mean, that's...
I cannot have appropriate reverence. I just have a hard time
kind of like how
where I do.
I deal with things. Like, I'll be the first one to make like a really horrible joke. Usually I'll make it to my wife because she knows me and she knows how I am. But yeah, I'll make like a really weird, awkward, sometimes really inappropriate, horrible joke at the worst times, but that's how I have to deal with it. Like, I have to do that because if I laugh, then it's not as bad. Even
it
though it's like,
it a
yeah,
bit.
Even though it's horrible. I totally get that. So, okay, I'm going to swing like way back here because you kind of mentioned this, but we didn't really talk about it. So you're from Ohio and,
I'm from Ohio.
I saw maybe earlier this week, I think you posted a story or something. And actually, this is when I reached out to you. People were talking shit about Ohio. So I wanted to ask you, like, what's the best thing about Ohio and being from Ohio? And what's like the most misunderstood thing that people just don't get and aren't seeing like how great it is?
Okay. So I'll answer your second question first.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, I danced ballet, and I danced ballet very seriously. So in the summers, I would go to like basically ballet summer camps, like a ballet summer program for 5 to 6 weeks at a time. So starting when I was 12, Pennsylvania, when I went there, people weren't weird about it because it's Pennsylvania, it's close. They got their own weirdness. It's fine. They're like, oh, you're from Ohio. That's normal. That's fine. When I started going farther away, I got a lot of weird, did you grow up on a farm? Do you have a cow? So I went to, like, when I was 13, I was in Canada, and they were, like, perplexed by me. They were like, did you grow up on a farm? What do your parents grow? And I was like, no, I grew up in a house in the suburbs. It's like a normal thing. And so I was always kind of defensive about it. And same when I moved to L.A.,
yeah,
people were like, Ohio, what is there in Ohio? Like, what do you guys have, corn? And I was like, no. I would always get really defensive about it. But then like, people were like, you're from the country. And I'm like, I'm not from the country. And then I'll be like, well, I can play the spoons and I'm very good at square dancing. I can play the dulcimer. I learned to clog. Or like, I'll have a moment of awakening where somebody was like, it was like June. And he was like, oh, I think, should we get corn? Is it corn season yet? And I was like, no, knee-high by the 4th of July. It won't be till the end of the summer. And people's heads whipped around. I was like, oh, did we not all know that?
That's so interesting.
My bad.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I guess I never really thought about, like... I've never been to Ohio, so I've never thought about that before.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, Ohio is not country at all. But like, for my parents' house, if you drive 15 minutes in any direction, you are in a cornfield.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, Ohio's not, like, Columbus isn't that big, but I think, I mean, but Columbus has more to offer, like the city itself. is great. There's loads of culture. Oh my God, I used to go to shows all the time there. There's a great restaurant scene. There's, you know, art galleries. There's a lot. You just have to, I mean, like any city, you just have to, you know, find your people and find what it is you like to do. It's interesting because other cities are not like this, and the fact that it's based around the Ohio State University, it was started as like, I mean, it was basically like a small town with a university when my dad got a job there in 1980.
Okay.
There was really nothing other than the university. But what happens is people would come to Ohio State and they love Columbus so much that they stay. So then you get these people staying there, and then the football team got really good and their fan base got really good. So when I was there, that was when I was a freshman at Ohio State, that was when they won the national championship, and then all this money got funneled in. So Ohio State became like a good school. Like when I was in high school, it almost was kind of the end of like, oh, anybody can get in, it's a state school. And now it's like hard to get in. They have great programs. Their football program funds all 6 other sports at the school. That's how much money they make from it.
Oh,
and
wow.
it's like this massive. So, and then people love it because it is a great school, and then they stay, and then they have families, and then their kids go there. And so now Ohio, like Columbus is like the area where my parents live. I learned to, when I was learning to drive that part of town, my dad took me there to like learn to drive fast because there was like cornfields and nothing out there. And now there's like a giant mall that's like 2 freeway exits, and they keep building it up. So,
oh, wow. So it grew a lot.
It has. Yeah. So Columbus is weird in that like everybody it has that university aspect. So like you can't go 2 feet without seeing someone in like scarlet and gray and, you know, Ohio State apparel. But it's not like a cow town like people.
Yeah.
It's not totally thick like people assume that of it. So I guess that's kind of like what's great about it as well. But yeah, I mean, you can find that. You can go a little bit out to the country. I went to this summer, my sister and I took her kid blackberry picking. So
I mean,
it wasn't far from
I
her
guess
house.
There's
it
that.
Was like out in a field. Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of interesting that people were like all over you about it. And I don't know, you seem like you're very proud.
The question that somebody asked you is, do you lie to people about being Ohio? I would. And I was like, why? I don't think it's like interesting, but I think it definitely shaped who I am.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's bad. You can't control where you were born. And I loved, you know, my childhood, and I loved, it was, you know, being there was great. It was so wholesome. It was like idyllic even. It was, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, a little family in a little white house and the suburbs, you know, go to the high school and whatever.
No, I mean, that is.
Go to parties in the cornfields and get drunk at a rave.
That is like idyllic.
Sorry.
Though. Like that's the. Oh no.
It was like.
Sorry.
It's like the American is. It's like in movies and stuff like that. The suburbs, whatever.
Yeah.
Picture perfect.
I always wanted that.
I mean, obviously it wasn't. Obviously there was different. Everyone has their own struggles, but it was great.
I always wanted that though, like that movie kind of life. Like,
really?
This is off the not off the record, but like when we were talking earlier, that, you know, I'm not going to put that stuff in the podcast, but that's kind of like where I get that from.
Yeah.
Like I wanted that, so I kind of picture that, and that's how I think things are supposed to go sometimes, and my brain will kind of trick me into thinking like this is how it's supposed to go because this is how it goes in the movies. And
right.
Yeah, so sometimes I kind of have to like fight against that. And and sometimes it's a little harder than other times, and sometimes I let like excitement or whatever like get in the way of that.
I was seeing a therapist over the summer, and she was like, "Do you think that you have to live a certain way?" Because she's like, "It's weird to me." She's like, "You're such an independent person and such like a free thinker." I get a lot. She's like, "You're such a you know, non-conforming person, she's like, it's interesting to me that you're kind of at this job, or like, do you think that that's what you have to do, is have a job, a steady 9-to-5 and, you know, get married and have kids? Cause you don't have to do that. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, oh, like I needed to be reminded of that. You can find your own happiness in a different way. And it's not going to be the same path as everybody else. And then I was like, in the end, I was like, oh, that's right. That's why I moved away from Ohio, going back to what we first talked about. Like, it wasn't serving me anymore. I was done with that. You know, it was becoming self-destructive for me to be there. I wasn't making good choices for me. So I had to, you know, find something else. What's my next thing? What am I doing now? Where am I going to go next? What's next in life? So, but being, anyway. I went off on a little tangent.
No, not at all. I really enjoy hearing you talk about like how you've gotten, or it's, you have like this path, it sounds like, set out, but you don't really know which direction it's going to take you. And I really kind of like admire that, because, you know, you can go anywhere, and it seems like you're very, very like realistic about
non-linear.
Yeah, and I love that. Like, you're very realistic about not wanting to be stagnant. And I think that's a incredibly like mature thing to realize, and also like really insightful, because a lot of people, you know, they get stagnant and they're kind of just like, oh, this is how it's going to be forever. There's nothing I can do. But not you. You're like, I don't want that, you know? And that's really hard.
That was another conversation with my therapist this summer, when I was telling her I was so unhappy with every aspect of my life. I was life hangry, you know. Mm-hmm. She was like, well, have you considered, she was like, finding contentment with where you are now and accepting that, and like, you know, finding a way to be at peace with that. And I shouted at her. I was like, no, I want more. I want more now. I want bigger, and I want better, and I want to be inspired, and I don't want to do that. And she was like, kind of taken aback. She was like, well, we answered that question.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so that's good to know. And I mean, there are people like that, and that's great. And I think that's admirable. And I think, but, you know, some people should be like that. There shouldn't, and not everybody should be, you know, bananas. bouncing off the walls. We need people like that. We need all kinds of people. But for me, that wasn't, I was like, no, I want more.
Yeah.
I want, there's so much more. I can do better, and I can be better, and I can find more for me. So that was, I have a still image in my brain of like the look on her face when I shouted at her. And she was like, her eyes were very wide, and she was like, okay, all right. Noted. I'm scribbling furiously.
So, all right, you want more. Like, what does that look like for you? You know, I know you said you're doing, you know, freelance stuff now, and I think that's amazing, you know, especially like, that's not easy to, first of all, find work, but also like not worry all the time, you know, and I'm sure you do worry. But you've got this but I mean, it sounds like you kind of thrive off that.
One day you're like, oh, things are great. And the next day you're like, when money comes.
Yeah.
How will?
Yes, exactly. What do I do? But it sounds like you really like thrive, and it's like very motivating for you to live like that.
It really is, because I got a lot of hustle. Like, there's just kinds of people that because I know people with that and without it. And living in LA, you find a lot of people that have that same like motivation in that. Like, it's like it sounds like people, like the hustle, whatever. But you know how to make things work. You know how to make things work in your best interest, I suppose. Like, I didn't work for almost a week when I was in Ohio. Which is crazy, because I'm used to having a job where I just get paid vacation, and I'm like, I don't have paid vacation anymore. Right. Crap. So I'm like, okay, post about pet purchase. What else? Oh, I can clean up my closet. I can sell stuff on Poshmark. I can make money in other ways. Like, okay, so maybe I can hit up some prop masters, see if they need any props made that I could do. Like, sometimes they'll need crafty stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I can write in a notebook that it looks like a 13-year-old girl wrote it for, you know, a couple hundred bucks.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, And I can like, okay, trying to figure out how to survive, but it's not really survive because I can with my part-time job, I can make enough that I'm like not totally not eating ramen noodles and, you know, struggling to pay my bills, but
yeah,
stop that. Sorry, my dog is barking.
Nope. Totally fine.
But yeah, I don't know. I just have that, like, I'll make it work because I have to.
Yeah.
And I feel like being the kind of person to have taken risks and stuff, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to make it work because I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not I totally totally get that. It's hard to be independent and a business owner. I mean, because that's essentially what you are. You know, you're a business owner just in multiple businesses.
Right.
It's really hard. But yeah, I think that's a huge motivating factor is just trying to live, trying to survive. I guess what I'm trying to get at is like, do you hate routine? Is routine like something for you that's kind of a deterrent?
No, I actually like routine. It's okay. Very comforting to me.
Okay.
And that was a part, like, I didn't totally mind of my last job because I had this, I mean, I would go to class on the same days of the week. Everything was very, like, I could plan my schedule very easily. It's kind of comforting in a way because I pack my lunch every day, or I did when I worked there. So I would, you know, come home and pack my lunch. Unfortunately, that became too much. So I kind of like have flown back in the other direction where I'm like, it's free. But I do like having routine. And even though I don't have like set, I have more set work hours now than I have the past couple months, just because like I'm teaching for real now. And it's not like drop everything and run to the studio and teach 15 minutes of a class that starts in a half hour. But I have like little routines that I do throughout the day. So, and those are comforting. And I think that's the same with everyone. And I think, you know, in the bigger picture, that's why people like religion. And that's why people like, you know, they like astrology or crystals or whatever. You create these little rituals and routines for yourself that like are soothing. And you're like, I feel good about doing them. Like I make tea the same way every morning. Or I sit down and they do something for, I schedule a portion of my day where I sit down and, you know, look at memes or whatever. No, like I do. Like I do my finance stuff every Thursday. Like I have little things that I do that I like the routine of that kind of make you feel balanced.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just kind of wondered. You're like a interesting kind of like enigma. Not that I'm trying to figure you out or anything, but like, you know, you're very free and then you also like routine. And I think that's pretty, pretty interesting dynamic.
A little of both. So, I'm a little Monica Geller, a little Phoebe Buffay, if we want to friend it.
That's actually a really good analogy. I like that. Yeah. Okay. I can totally picture that. And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.